Episode 398, December 17th, 2018.
This is the Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to the Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Welcome to the Robin Joe Show. We just recorded a bonus show, so patrons, look out for that, and those of you aren't a Patreon, get on board. It's worth it. It's time to continue the classic debate here. Will Joe approve of my voicemail? We've happened years ago. It was Mac Berkson's favorite bit on the show. You never liked my voicemail message.
Well, we played it last episode.
Well, I got a new phone. And okay. We played it last week. You were lukewarm. So I've gone back. Once again, I just want you to finally like my voicemail message, and I think I've finally done it this time. Robbie, can you call my phone? Turn it down. So.
Hey, you've reached Rob Mayer's voicemail. Give me a call back when you get an opportunity. Thanks, bye.
Record your message after the tone.
I love it.
Perfect.
Oh, man, that's the best one you've ever had by a million miles.
To the point, succinct, professional, yet still warm and inviting.
That's pretty good, man. I would not recommend, but, you know, your voice is a lot less abrasive than mine. But
so you don't like it?
No, of course I like it. I love the sound of my own voice, as you well know.
Would you leave a message?
Of course, yes. By the way, I have no problem with it. You'll never leave that. It's probably not. Robbie probably created that for you.
He did. That's the first I heard it as well.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen
whatever.
To your message, press 2.
Thank you. Very satisfied. Good job, Robbie. See, Mac.
Hey, Mac said almost funny.
Yeah.
God. You didn't even know it was me.
We're trying, Mac.
Hey, let me say, can we start off the show with Resentments Kill?
Are you still there?
So stop. Resentments Kill, of course, is the book written by my uncle, Charles Robinson. And I think last week we talked about that the number one Google search in certain areas for his book, Resentments Kill, is this podcast. And I'm not sure how this is measured, but Robbie, was it fourth? What list was it fourth on this week?
Amazon's top 20.
You're telling me.
I think that's complete bullshit.
You're telling me that only three books have sold better than Resentments Kill. Is that what you're telling me?
Okay. Number one is The Wonky Donkey by Craig Smith and Katz Cowley. No one's buying that. Number two, Where the Crawdads Sing.
Well, I saw
number three, Off Blood and Bone.
I saw number four was Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Now, let me say this. When, like, for example, when J.L. Covan puts out a new comedy CD.
Yes.
And he
breaks the internet.
He works hard to put it into whatever. But there's no way that he's above, like, Bill Burr. There's something having to do with.
No, in comedy CDs, you can get to number one.
How do you do it?
Well, it's just you.
Is it done hourly? How the fuck does he get above Dave Chappelle as an example?
You can if you have a new release at the same time. You can't. But there are very few comedy albums relative to music albums. So if you have some pre-sales, you know.
I thought it had to do with growth over a certain number or whatever. I can't.
No, nobody knows how they do it. They're secretive.
I was about to say.
You can. Like if I released an album, I would expect it to go number one, unless I was going up against, you know, Jim Gaffigan's new album at the same time or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I believe that if I put out a comedy CD, Jim Gaffigan's Beyond the Pale from 15 years ago would still be outselling my comedy CD.
Yeah, but they want to put that out there so that there would be new people will see that.
That's what I'm saying.
It, they'll get their cut. I mean, there's a whole math to it.
So
it's not good enough for us. But I'm sure Amazon is not invested in Resentment
Kill
by Charles
Robinson.
Well, hear me out.
When I saw that, I never thought that Resentment's Kill was outselling, you know, Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. I didn't think that.
But Michelle Obama's book.
Right. But what I did think was that they had some similar, you know, algorithm or whatever, that's what I thought. So that's not even the case. That's Robbie, some Photoshop job by Robbie. Now I got
it. It's all going to be lies by Robbie. God.
Now I got it.
You didn't fall for it for a second, Rob?
No. You saw it? Of course not.
You didn't think it looks good. But you didn't think it might have been something like they do on iTunes?
No, there's too many books.
You think there's more books than comedy CDs? I think there's more comedy CDs.
It's easier to write a book.
What are you out
Charles
of your fucking
mind? Robinson wrote one.
No, it's much easier to do a comedy CD. I have one. You have nine. Eric Woodworth.
But you have to have some aptitude. Anybody can think they can write.
Hey, do you know that Eric Woodworth, off guest on the show. Matter of fact, Robbie, get his number ready. He recorded his comedy CD.
Wait, he already has a CD.
A new comedy CD. He recorded it
at
the Auto Bar. And he was sabotaged.
Oh, that's right.
It was ruined. Do you know this, Robbie?
No.
Why don't you give him a ring? See if you can't get Eric on the phone. Maybe he can tell this story.
Sorry, Marcus.
Yes. In fact...
Oh, we have to hang up on Marcus.
He just gets paused.
It was an important day. It was a huge day. Katie and I were going to try to make it. It ends up we couldn't have. But we also, you know, messaged him saying, hey, dude, good luck, blah, 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 blah. And he came back with some venom, so... Are you texting him to pick up? Because he probably won't otherwise.
No.
We should do that preemptively.
We should be organized.
Yeah.
Hi, you've reached Eric's cell phone, where the messages are always hot. Leave yourself a voicemail at the tone in our general mailbox. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks, and have a spicy day.
By the way, every voicemail I've ever left is better than Tommy and Eric's, and you love
both of those. I didn't say I love it. Hey, Robbie, hang up. And
I just texted him.
Oh, you did? I did, too. Told him to pick us up. So we'll talk for a couple minutes, and then we'll have him see if he won't pick us up and tell us that story.
I guess I should have texted him good luck and stuff. But you're a better friend than I am.
Yeah, I am. I'm much more considerate.
Yeah.
Did you remember his birthday? He also had a recent birthday.
I didn't wish him a happy birthday, but I did post on our Die Laughing Productions page a photo of him and doing his leotard dance, and I said wish him a happy birthday on Instagram and on our Facebook.
I'm trying to think of something.
But I didn't personally. Nor did I personally give Gramps a birthday shout-out. Happy birthday, Gramps.
I sent Gramps a... He doesn't know this. Robbie, try to call him again while we're doing this. He doesn't know this. I sent him a personal text, my father, but also I gave him a shout-out. Robbie probably knows this on the Ravens broadcast. Do you know that,
nice.
Robbie?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was it was a segment that people are going to have listened to because it was within 15 minutes of the start of the network, and it was right after some interview with Justin Tucker. And then we came on there, and I wish Gramps...
Did he hear it?
No, he didn't hear it. Robbie didn't hear it. And then definitely...
I don't think Gramps listens to pregame.
No, I doubt it.
I don't think he does.
Hello.
What's up,
hey,
dude?
Hey, Eric, Rob and Joe show.
Hey, what's up? I'm about to start Laugh Finder.
Okay.
Oh, so you're not going to get a chance to tell us the story about how your comedy CD was sabotaged by the man you are closest to in this world?
Okay, so I'll give you the skinny because I'm still pretty furious about it. So, Jeremy, my sweet dear brother, God bless him, God bless his soul. I use him to be one of the cameramen at the show. Okay,
so you're shooting a DVD and a CD.
I don't like to call it anything right now. Okay, because I did. Look, it's going to be something. Okay, we'll just leave it. But Jeremy is First of all, early in the set, he immediately heckles me, okay? So I immediately get heckled by the camera.
Tell me what he said. I'm interested. What did he say? You
suck? I don't even know. It was just some nonsense mumbling, like, rude. Like, I was like, okay, that's enough.
The worst kind of heckle, because you can't get a laugh off of it because it's just awkward.
Yes, nobody laughs at it, right? So then he starts doing these weird shots where he comes across the stage really quickly in front of everybody and just does like a quick sweep in front of me. And I'm like, so I mentioned it. I'm like, okay, well, that was really weird. How about we not do that anymore? And I was like, okay, well, hopefully we put this to bed. Nope. Guys, I was so wrong. He then proceeds near the end of the show to come up and do a close-up with he's holding a full Steadicam rig that's like shoulder mounted to him. And he comes and he's getting closer and I can see him in my peripheral vision. And at one point, the camera is literally touching my face, like touching it. Like, end of the set. I'm closing it out. This is what he's decided to do. So,
this was your closer, Jeremy, touching your face with the camera?
Yeah, so he thought that, you know, this is what this needs to really set the tone of this entire thing. So,
Eric, how much do you say this is on me? It's not, I'm not saying it's 100. Clearly the person, you know, the culprit is most responsible, but knowing your brother and knowing what he's capable of, how much did you say afterwards, you know, I should have known better?
I don't. All right. Now here's the reason. Cause he's done the right thing before. So I figured, oh, the stakes are raised. He's not going to do what I don't think what other people expect of him. But nope, I was fucking wrong. So
did you yell at him afterwards?
Yeah, because
you had a whole big.
He seems like that would set him over the edge if you were genuinely mad at him.
No, he thinks it's hilarious. He thinks it's the funniest thing in the whole world. I told him that it pissed me off. I almost punched him in the face. I almost punched you while you were doing that on stage. You understand that? And he thought it was just the funniest thing in the whole world. He set his profile picture today on Facebook to a picture of him in the shot that Jeff Hancock took of it. So that's how.
Are you going to have to re-record it? I mean, is it ruined? It's not usable?
No. So I looked at his footage. Because at first and it looks pretty good, but it's still the risk versus the reward just wasn't worth it. But by the way, I have 5 other camera angles that I can't use while he's in the shot. You understand?
Wait a minute, hold on. This is a comedy DVD, and you had a 6-camera shoot.
He doesn't know what it is. He just gave himself options. It's not going to be an Academy Award-winning comedy fucking special with Jeremy Woodworth putting the camera right against your face. What, was he wearing his clown makeup at the time?
And the nominees for Best Cinematography.
No. Oh, but I forgot to mention this. There was a portion of the show, and I'll send it to you guys. I'll send it to you, Rob, so you can see it. But
nice. There
is Justin Jones sent me a video of Jeremy taking a video where he's sitting next to Justin Jones and he's completely asleep with the camera in his lap. Like
he's asleep during your set?
Just asleep during my set.
Did you pay him?
Justin has it. So
did you pay him to do this for his time?
Not now.
No, I did not pay him to do this.
You get what you pay for.
I was planning on it, but now I don't want to. Do you understand?
Like, oh, no, you can't now. What were you planning on giving him, $100?
Listen, we don't talk quality time finances, but it was like tens of dollars, something like
that.
Do you
think you killed?
I did a pretty good set. I was happy with everything that happened other than the little Jeremy thing. And honestly, when I'm talking about what Jeremy's interaction was with it, it was maybe 2 to 3 minutes of what I did, like almost 50-minute set. So, I think it's going to turn out just fine.
Eric, I think this is actually going to increase your sales because people are now,
there's
a backstory. They're more interested. They got to see this.
They want to see Jeremy ruining your.
This could take off like Resentment's Kill has taken off on Amazon.com.
Have you gotten your copy of Resentment's Kill yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Sorry.
Well, if I drew you in the Secret Santa, you'd be getting it. Thank you, Eric. Go enjoy quality time with Tommy Sambazo.
He's
so busy tomorrow he can't rehearse because he's Christmas shopping with his girlfriend. Bye.
See you, dude.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Eric Woodworth.
Mac in chat says, Gramps gives birth to Joe, raises him for 50 years. Joe says happy birthday on the radio, expects everyone to pat him on the back.
That was a fantastic photo you posted of Gramps, Robbie. Did you guys do anything? Did you have a birthday dinner, some sort of meal?
Nope.
All right.
Okay. Good talk.
God. I did mention a Gramps story last week. We didn't tell it ever. I didn't. It's just,
because you got to it at the end of the show. Yes. And I thought it'd be a bad ending.
Well, I'm just going to summarize because it's the woman or man, the transsexual that he was flirting with, who we did not know was a transsexual.
Transgender. Correct. Right?
I'm sorry. Anyway, he comes back to that that street where this person resides, and they'd been shot in the head, like earlier, a few days earlier, and killed, murdered. Was now his fifth client that's been murdered.
Does somebody then get the death benefit, Gramps? What do they get? What do they get for this death?
Or is he a suspect? I mean, if his clients keep dying.
No, he's too beloved. He wouldn't be a suspect,
I'm
I don't
saying.
Think.
Look at the common denominator in all these deaths, Joe. You got one man is popping up.
We talk about this a lot.
Suspicious 53-year-old man.
Who's that young man driving the...
Isn't the other common denominator that this is on the streets of Baltimore?
Yeah, I want to say this, and then it'll be done. Enough, Dad. You need to stop. You need to stop selling insurance in the streets of Baltimore. People are getting killed every single day. And by the way, my father thinks that he's
okay, you can stop with the machine gun.
Well-liked in the city of Baltimore that he's safe. But he doesn't know everybody in the city of Baltimore. And the city of Baltimore is the most dangerous city currently in the United States.
Yes.
So, yes, I'm sure that my father could endear himself to whoever may have killed him. But what if they've never met him? What if they don't know him?
What if they have yet to be endeared?
Right. What if he hasn't been able to sell himself to these people? So I think it's weird. My father, he used to always... This story is going back 30 years. The first time... We've talked about this before. My father doesn't say gyro. He goes, hero. He works very hard to make sure that he is respectful of the Greek culture.
Yes.
And says it correctly. And the reason is because I remember when he ate his first hero. Robbie, do you remember where he bought it?
Probably somewhere in Baltimore, I'm guessing.
Lexington Market.
Yes.
Okay. And he would always say, I go to Lexington Market and I get the hero, you know. And I never heard of these when he started buying them 35, 40 years ago. But if you go by Lexington Market now,
yeah,
have you even driven by Lexington Market?
No, I don't. Why would I?
Because yes, if you did, you by the time you got past, you would have no rims. I mean, you can't. He's probably still walking into Lexington Market. Whatever it was when he was buying his first hero, his 900th hero is not. He should
not
be going in. No, Lexington Market. I guarantee you, you know, every once in a while you'll hear like at Arundel Mills Mall, there's been some shooting in the parking lot. Arundel Mills Mall, that looks like a church compared to Lexington Market. You do not want to be walking in Lexington Market.
Is there any retirement plan for Gramps? Does he say, I want to?
No.
I mean, even Tom Brady gives a number when he wants to end.
No. He says he'll probably work until he dies. That's what he says.
He says that. However, can't he find something else to do? Does he have to sell insurance?
Does he have to sell this particular type of insurance?
That's the other thing. You know, he's selling insurance.
You're not going to pivot at this point. You're going to do what you do.
There's some truth in that he's going to be better at this than he's going to be at anything else. Okay, you're right about that. However, who cares?
You know what I think he should do? Huh. I think he should start doing voiceover work.
That's true.
I mean, he's got a good
cartoons.
Voice.
Maybe he could be in the next Pixar movie.
Maybe he could. He could do some commercial reads. Look how well he does on our show.
Yeah, get on the stick.
Yeah. Drop a fiver. This guy's got game. He's got a little panache.
So I won't go a whole lot more into this, but this shit needs to end.
It does need to
end. It needs to end. I mean, honestly, he's a mark. In spite of his 50-year-old appearance, as much as he looks like Clooney, this needs to stop.
Well, he does have going for them that it's it's sad to say, but I'm sure if Gramps was murdered in Baltimore, it might get a little more media attention and maybe police activity than someone on the street versus another another black-on-black crime, which is another statistic, as opposed to some news story.
Maybe not, but I'm not interested in shedding light on whatever how dangerous the city is by having my father get murdered.
No,
right?
Nor am I.
Yeah. Honestly, I understand that he wears this like a badge of honor. The badge of honor has been worn.
Yes.
It's done. You've done it.
You have a lifetime membership.
You're now an 80-year-old man selling insurance in the streets of the most dangerous city in the United States. You've done it.
You're already a hero that likes
heroes.
That's
right. Already. By the way, it's hero.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and the story of how David Koechner broke the internet along with me, Robin Joshua. Be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 23rd at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Our show really gets off the rails, which lends itself to just getting a little nutty. Hold on a second. Joe makes me too mad I'm leaving. Bye all.
You are responsible for keeping hope alive amongst
I better not. Hope not.
You should do some sort of dominatrix fantasy where tying Joe up and he's giving Raven spouts and you're just smacking him with a whip or something.
She'd love that.
Got real into heavy into drugs and alcohol, and it got real serious for a second. Katie goes, I guess she was living life in the fast lane.
She had big, giant boobs, and her face was beautiful, and she had a big, giant fat ass.
Her boyfriend's really nice and really rich, but, God, I just can't stand him.
I mean, honestly, I guess I'm more bothered by the idea that, you know, I only have 20 good years with Katie.
God, he's just so ugly.
Is it okay that I start dating other people if you're still alive but you're so out of it?
And now I'm on Weight Watchers, so now I'm on the point system.
Oh, but it's Katie and Joe fighting. That's always good.
When he's around me, he's, I don't believe he's that funny. So.
Hi, you reached the bone of Tommy Lear, otherwise known as Tommy
Gunbarro. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's not do this one.
Hey, when's the last time you read a comic book?
I guess Sunday? Yes.
We sold it out.
Oh, fantastic stuff. I don't know if that's a motto or Robinson.
That was all Jim. That was
That's good.
Good job, Jim.
All November stuff.
God, Jim. Excellent work, Jim. Thank you. I was in Virginia Beach, the Funny Bone, one of my favorite clubs. We've done the murder mystery there successfully several times. Need to bring that back in 19.
We also did our very best dance.
We did.
At Virginia Beach.
Which I wasn't in, which helps. But I was there Wednesday to Sunday. Koechner came in Friday to Sunday. So we do morning press Friday morning. He got in Thursday night. We did Friday morning. There's a radio station down there. It's funny, this guy, it's Rumble in the morning. This guy, Rick Rumble, he's a cool guy. He actually emailed me a couple days later. He'd went to a party, and a woman had shown up, a black woman had shown up, wearing my Once You Go White, You'll Still Be Tight t-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, that's great.
So that was hilarious. But anyway, after we do the radio, there's a local TV thing we do. I've done it several times when I first talked about Aubrey, the hot Asian girl.
Oh, yeah.
That, a keynote, yes. And it's, you know, it's like a, every market has this. It's like they're like local Today Show kind of thing. It's on from like 10 to 11. DC has several versions. So we go to do that, and that was fun. And then we're leaving there. It's myself, Dave, and Rick Bruner, who's the general manager of the club. And we're a half mile from the station. We're about to turn left, and we see someone. We're about to turn left onto the interstate. Someone's coming off the interstate, turning left, which would be straight for us. And Rick's like, oh, she just took the turn wrong and hit the median, and both her left side tires blown out. And he's like, man, what a horrible time of year for that to happen. And Kegner's like, well, let's go see if she's okay. So we end up going straight across. She pulls in this parking lot. We come up. You know, it's an old car, 2004 Honda Accord. And he's like, let me call AAA for you. Anyway, this ends up being like a 2.5 hour affair, which I don't know if we would have done it if we knew it was going to take him that long.
I got a little lost. Were you on your way to TV?
We just left TV.
Okay, so you had nothing to do other than what, the show later on that day?
Yeah, it's 10:45 a.m.
Okay, so yes. You actually had another couple hours to kill. Probably give you something to do.
Right, well, we had till 8 p.m. to the show, yeah. So he calls AAA. Then Rick texts our friend back at the stations, hey, you know, you might want to come over here. He's going to buy this woman tires. Might be a good human interest story. So we're like, okay. They come back, her and the cameraman. It's funny, the guy that's the host of the show was on the camera. He's a jack of all trades.
So or the woman, station's so small.
Yeah.
Was it woman, Jeremy Woodworth?
No, that's a huge market. They're talking about getting a pro team. It's a pretty big market.
Virginia Beach?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty big market.
The Virginia Beach what?
Well, it'd be Virginia something, mm-hmm. Hampton Roads or something. But no, it's not. It's a decent size market. So it's a woman. She's like 50. She's got four kids that are grown up, but she has her nephew in the car who's like 5. And we end up going. The AAA finally shows up.
By the way, did they know who he was?
She had no idea.
Okay.
She figured out because then the news came and she started to piece things together. But she seemed like she was in a daze. She claimed that this guy had like run her off the road and given her the finger. And
but then, you saw and that didn't happen.
No, I didn't see any of it. We got Rick, the driver. So I don't know what that happened. So we end up going to the tire place. By the way, her two tires are shot. The other two are all just as bad. They're just not. They're about to be blown. So 4 tires, $600.
He pays for that.
He gets the whole protection plan.
He got the insurance on the
tires. He got the whole thing, which I think he just got roped into that. So while we're waiting,
you thinking about what you get paid? And you were like,
I was talking to Rick. I was like, you know, the real generosity here is the time. It's not the money.
Yeah, you're right.
Because this is taking a while, and it's cold out. So, what we're talking to the tow truck driver, and this you'd like this because this is a Joe thing. Keckner's like, all right, let's bet. Who wants in? What day of the week do you think do they get the most calls for a tow truck?
Huh?
And we each put it. Some of us did duplicate days.
So it has to be a weekend day because, or maybe it's because you don't have any place to be. I'll say Sunday.
Okay, Robbie, you want to weigh in?
I'm going to say Monday.
Okay, that's what Keckner said Monday. I said Friday because I'm thinking there's the most traffic, mm-hmm. leading to the most accidents. Joe, you were on the right track Saturday.
Yeah, what I was thinking was you had to have the time to do what needed to be done. If
yes.
you're at work and all that stuff, then your car's probably sitting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the thinking Saturday. So anyway, the news airs this at 7, 10, and 11.
Wait, how did the news crew get there?
He said that. The guy, the driver called the station.
He texted Stephanie, who's our friend, who's works the station. And it's the half mile away, and they came over. And I put this on Facebook. I had 335 likes, 35 shares. The station had over 500 shares. Then the Richmond station posted it. Ken Kinsicki, our friend, he tagged me in it. It's Rochester news station, for some reason, posted it. And I could tell he was a little uncomfortable because he wasn't doing this to get this some sort
right.
of like. But I was like, let's just let the internet do what it's doing. Maybe we'll get some publicity out of this and it'll be positive. But they air this whole 2-minute thing on the news with talking to him. I'm in it. I'm not interviewed, but you see me the whole time in it.
Miggity Max says in chat, Rob is the anti-David Keckner.
Wait, read the one he wrote before that.
Does anyone remember when Rob ruined one of Tawana's tires and Rob didn't want to buy 2 tires to keep them balanced? I do remember that.
Yeah, I stand by that decision. But anyway, one last thing on that. Shit, I lost my train of thought. Nah, it doesn't matter.
That's all right. Well, I'm going to mention, you just mentioned Ken Kinsicki, if it occurs to you what you're going to say. He has a friend.
Oh, sorry, real quick.
Good.
So, Keckner did these Hardee's commercials that I had yet to see. I went on, there's a website you can go and you can see the commercials. And I looked, but I hadn't seen them on TV. Well, we get down at VA Beach and people keep mentioning the Hardee's commercial. And then watching the Patriots Steelers game, the big
afternoon game.
It came on
twice. So after we went to the tire store right next to was Hardee's, he walks in thinking, "Hey." Nobody knew who he was. Nobody seen the commercial. They were like, okay, well, this is stupid. We're not going to eat here.
Wow, so. You guys eat at TGI Fridays and Hardee's?
We didn't eat at Hardee's. We just went to get in to say hi, and then not nobody.
Hey, it's me.
Yeah, it was there.
What do you want, a Big Montana?
Yeah, they couldn't have been less central. That's Arby's.
Whatever. Yeah. So you mentioned my friend Ken Kinsicki. We had somebody drop out of our fantasy football league. We already talked to that former show announcer, Tim.
Yes.
And we needed to replace him.
Banned for life, Tim.
So... Ken, who now lives in Richmond, he said, "Hey, how about my friend?" Nobody knew him.
Sure.
And we say, "Sure, we need somebody." So this new guy, I don't even know his name.
Brian
is now in the league.
And he, what did he immediately do, Joe?
He immediately, I'm not sure. What did he immediately
do? Asked to change some rules.
Oh, yes, yes. He asked to change rules, which I think he got, right?
Yeah.
Regardless.
So, he also, by the way, finished in last place. He finished behind Frank.
And Ken finished in second to last.
Yes.
So whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Or maybe it is.
But there is a fee, clearly, to get into this league. And this guy that we don't know, only through our friend, didn't pay his league fee.
Well, nor did Ken.
Nor did our friend. Yes. Whatever. So it's uncomfortable because there's only 1 week left, and then it's time to pay people.
Yes.
And you don't have... 1/6 of the money.
I'm the commissioner. And this is what I hate about being the commissioner. This is the only thing I hate is collecting money and then paying out. So some of these guys like want a check. Like Brian Lash, I'm writing him a check or something. No.
I would
Venmo,
never write a
PayPal.
Check.
Nope. Come on.
I'd say if you want the money, you can either come to my house and get cash or you can get Venmo like every other human alive. But it's awkward for you because you got to ask somebody you don't know for money.
Several times.
And you sent an email to him. Was it today?
Yeah, because I've sent, obviously, in the beginning of the year, there's the group email. This is what it costs. You can pay me this way. And then towards the end of the season, I said, hey, some of you have yet to pay. Again, here's how you can do it. No response. So I email him directly, not part of a group text email. I said, hey, I need the fantasy entry fee. It's $100. You can PayPal me at this email or Venmo at Die Laughing Productions. He responds 40 minutes later. No worries. What does that mean? Because I haven't gotten the money.
So normally what I think is, oh, don't worry about it. You'll get it. Which, honestly, I don't want to be the guy who didn't pay. I don't want to be that person. But if you don't care, you can make somebody else's life miserable. It reminds me of being late. You and I are never late. Well, Robbie, good God.
Right.
Yeah, Robbie's show. But we're never late. If I'm late, something has happened. But a lot of people are late. My friend Erica, we mentioned, she's late everywhere she goes.
Right.
Well, that's very, very stressful to me.
Yeah.
The idea that I owe you money and I haven't paid, and now it's coming time for you to have to... I don't want to be the guy who's preventing you from paying it. I don't want to be that person. But if you don't care, it's miserable. You're the victim.
Yeah, and it's never been easier in the world to pay someone than it is now.
It's today. Every day after today, it becomes even easier to pay people. It's never become easier. But the no worries, I would have taken comfort in that, except for when the money didn't show up.
Yeah, when he first said that, I said, okay, I'm assuming I'll be getting this money via PayPal or Venmo in the next half hour or so.
And the thing
and
about
I haven't.
The thing about it is you now have to follow up.
Yeah.
You have to be like, look, I'm not trying to be a dick, but everyone's paid, but it's clearly not true. Everyone's paid but you and one other person, and I can't pay out the league fee. You're going to have to
shell out my own money.
Well, no, it's not that. I'd rather put up my own money than have to send an email to somebody like that, because then that guy's going to be like, God, what's up with your friend, man? He's badgering me over email. I guarantee he's not going to accept responsibility. You're going to be the villain.
Well, what possibly way can he rationalize? He clearly has been in fantasy football before. He's had rules changes. He knows it's for money.
Here's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to say to Ken, man, geez, look at this email I got from your buddy. I'm going to pay the $100. That's what he's going to say, as if you're being a dick for saying, enough, pay the money. I'm telling you, remember I said this.
Okay.
You're going to be the villain.
Do you think he will pay me?
God, I hope so. We're grown men.
Do you think he will pay me without me making any other, no more conversation?
No. Why wouldn't he have already done it?
I'll have to send a follow-up.
I owed a lady from my office who does a raffle for, like, her church. An older lady, Miss Williams. Shout out, Miss Williams. If you remember from back in the day, she was friends with Miss Evelyn. Remember Miss Evelyn?
I'm sure Classic Robin Joe.
Yes, Classic Robin Joe. I guarantee you knows Miss Evelyn. She's the one who used to bring me a tangerine. And I'd be like, oh, thanks. She goes, well, don't worry. Just grab me a coffee next time you're out. I'm like, God, what a pain in the ass. But Miss Williams was
a very Seinfeld
episode. Yes, that's exactly what would happen. But anyway, so all I was doing was like, God, I didn't have $10. I sent $10 to somebody else in the office who had cash. I just want to make sure that I don't carry around this debt because I might forget, and I don't want to be that person. This guy does not give a fuck about being that person.
Well, I've also texted, you know, our friend Ken, who we do know, you've known for 30 years or whatever, and he didn't get back to me. But he did tag me on Facebook regarding something else. Maybe I have a different phone number. I don't know. But it is weird, because you mentioned they came in 11th and 12th place. That might be part of it.
Well, what happens? You don't owe the money?
They're just so angry at their experience with the league. They're like, oh, fuck it, I'll get to it.
Well, what I should do then is not pay and decide, and after I see where I finish, decide whether or not I want to pay or not.
Yeah, well, you know, there is the site, and next year the site can collect the money.
That's what's going to happen next year? Do they get? I guess
they pay it out.
And they get, I guess they get a rake, right?
I don't know if they do, but I'll pay it just to not have to do this.
Well, yeah, and then when they say, why are we doing this, it's because of you.
Yeah.
You're the reason that we now have to, you don't get all the money anymore. Yahoo gets some of it now. Yeah. You don't get all of it. You only get pennies on the dollar at this point.
What would you do, Robbie?
You don't want my answer.
No, I do. I'm not going to do it because it's probably going to go to DEFCON 4.
I would go over to the guy's house. You know what I would fucking
I don't
do.
Know how to get to his
you
house.
You can't. He lives in Richmond. Yeah. You can't go to his house.
I would be going to his fucking house.
Well, you live closer to Richmond than I do.
Over the amount of money that we just discussed?
It's the principal.
The guy's being
an asshole.
Yeah, but there's 12 people in this league. You're going to make Rob drive to Richmond for the principal? There's 11 other people.
It only has to do with this one time, but it's just to make the point.
Well, Robbie, you're the collection agent. It means you get a cut of, so you, if you get, I'll split it with you if you go and get it.
Yeah, I'm not invested in it like you are.
It sounds like it. You're ready to fire it up.
No, because this kind of shit makes me crazy.
It does. It is stupid. Well, how come Ken hasn't paid? He's friends with me.
He's notorious for doing that. Anyway, we're getting a lot of grief in chat for this. I don't know if this is not interesting, but of course, you know, Mac is in there just destroying us. So
I think most people can relate to this.
Here's something you'll like.
By the way, if Mac doesn't think this is interesting, I don't know what he likes. If I email the guy, you owe me money, he goes, no worries. That's pretty funny. And then he doesn't pay? I mean, that's...
No, Mac doesn't like it. He's producing the
show.
What
would Mac like us to talk about?
From chat.
How great Gramps is?
I promise you.
Just talk about.
I promise you he'll like this next story.
I promise you if I tell it, he won't.
So, Frank, the great Frank Push.
Well, that's true.
Father of Katie Push. We went to ICE at the Gaylord in DC, in the National Harbor.
I saw some photos of that.
So, I don't know if you know what our listeners know what this is, but they take a theme. Last year it was, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This year it was, Charlie Brown Christmas, and they sculpt all these different scenes from those, iconic Christmas shows in ice.
Yeah, I've wanted to go with that, with the one who wants to take her niece there, but we have never done it. It looks pretty cool.
So, well, I'll say this. It is very cool when you go in.
Mm-hmm.
And first see these sculptures. It gets to a point where it's too fucking cold.
Right.
Because they have to, you know, these things will shatter. So it has to be 9 degrees. And I don't know if you know, but 9 degrees is not, that's extremely cold. You get a parka, but if any part of you is exposed, I had gloves on. I had jeans on. Wasn't enough. My face was exposed. It's freezing.
You didn't wear your Ravens game day jacket?
I wore everything. By the way, I got a new Ravens game day jacket. Regardless, I wore everything. It wasn't enough because even though my eyes and nose, which were exposed, freezing.
Well, how are the kids enjoying it then?
Well, the only kid that's there is, you know, her nephew who's, you know, 3 years old.
But this is four kids, right?
It's definitely for kids, but, you know, I mean, good parents bundle their kids. I don't know. I mean, right. Maybe kids complain enough to yank them out of there. I don't know. But it's fun. It is fun. So we're walking to this restaurant that we're going to after.
Hey, did Frank wear the thing he wore to the Ravens game? It was $500.
I'll bet if he had to do it all over again, he would have. We're walking there, and there's two ladies walking by with umbrellas, and they accidentally, by the way, these ladies are probably Aunt Mom's age. They're probably in their 60s or maybe early 70s, right? And one of them accidentally hits his daughter-in-law with a part of the umbrella that has a big ball on it. It's not like it's going to gouge anybody's eye out.
Right.
So they go, excuse me, right? Frank, he's as far away from them as I am to that door right there. And he goes, how about I take that umbrella and shove it up your ass? I go, are you out of your fucking mind, man? They'll call the police. You can't threaten people in that manner. It was so funny. He goes, what? You can't even say sorry? I go, no, they did. She did say sorry. She said sorry, and then you threatened to shove her umbrella up her ass.
Maybe I can get Frank to contact Brian about this $100.
Frank, I guarantee
you. The enforcer.
Yeah, no, he would definitely. Frank's in the league. Well, he got kicked out of the league.
Yes,
still now we're gonna have to find another Brian who also won't pay. At least Frank came up with $100.
Maybe we can get Mac Burks in the league so we can just shit on me every week. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Finish this up. Rob and Joe Show.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob blew... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead. Scott Berkson, now my favorite Berkson. Going to go back to that.
You're tired of Mac just hammering on. I like it.
I'm going back to that.
So
my most beloved story in the history of my life on Facebook, he hated it. So, but he's right. Everyone else on Facebook is wrong. I have a story for you, Jay.
Okay. Go ahead.
An email from one forwarded to me, to Robbie, from one Michael Chamberlain. Subject, 8th grade. The movie, not the year of school. Didn't Joe rave on this thing? Didn't he, at the time, think it was the best movie of the year? It isn't. Far from it. I don't even go with it. The best thing about it is the casting. The lead girl is good, and she can talk. I hope so. Josh Hamilton is also fine. But the direction and script are gimmicky and obvious. It doesn't really reveal anything we haven't seen before. And it does in a very commercial way. The movie is okay. But certainly not as simple, unadorned, and moving as Boyhood and Lady Bird. Both of which blow it right out of the water. Poor Joe. Mr. Movies. Mr. Mainstream.
So this movie that's barely a go has a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. So like I said, that's fine. I'm not going to get super defensive. But what I'm letting you know is that Mara Rheinstein, who writes for Us Weekly, Mike Chamberlain, who writes for Robbie, she thought it was the best movie of the year as well. And again, also, the lead in this, her name is, I think it's Elsie Fisher, nominated for a Golden Globe. I wouldn't be surprised if she's nominated for an Academy Award. The other thing is that I'm interested, without ruining it, if you ever see this, if you think you've seen anything like this before. I've never seen anything like this before. Nothing like it before. By the way, I loved Lady Bird. I loved it.
Yeah.
What was the other movie he mentioned? Boyhood. So here's the thing about Boyhood. Boyhood.
That's the one that takes place over 15 years or something.
Boyhood is an achievement.
Right.
But the story isn't anywhere near, it's not nearly as interesting as this movie is. This movie is a much more likable movie. By the way, the critics agree with that as well. They agree again, I'm not just saying.
You're not the guy that fits into the category. He's the guy that fits into the category, and that's super snobbish. Movie guy. Very, very, very specific taste.
So, Boyhood, which I also liked, 97%. Okay, so it wasn't reviewed as well as eighth grade.
Still pretty darn good.
No, no, Listen, I liked Boyhood. I'm not acting like it wasn't a good movie. Lady Bird, let's take a look at Lady Bird. Hold on. Look at this. Here it is, right over here. 99%. By the way, I loved Lady Bird. But the idea that one's a turd, he said it's not even a go.
Lady Turd.
You know that
it's a different movie.
Toy Story 3, which Robbie believes is a masterpiece. Robbie said that many a time. There's one dude that gave it a Rotten Tomato. And it has a 99% as well. That same guy also gave The Godfather a Rotten Tomato. Okay. I'm just trying to give you an idea. So
I promise you Michael likes Toy Story 3 and The Godfather.
Well, my point is that person is trying to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, by the way, The Godfather and Toy Story 3 have the same score as eighth grade. They have the same score.
Mm-hmm. So Toy Story 3 is better than the original Toy Story, the one I finally saw 5 months ago.
It might be a better film if you isolate it, but as a whole, you can't take the third version of a story and make it the best.
The reason the third one works is because you've seen the first two and you've established and you're connected to these characters. But the other thing is the animation gets progressively better through the movies.
I think they should do a Toy Story 4 with Christmas ornaments.
I think with Gramps doing voiceovers.
Yes.
Right? But look, the point is that what Mike's saying, it's a pimple in the ass. It doesn't faze me. It's more to get under my skin. The truth is that he is in the vast minority. He's the one that needs to make the argument, not me. I don't need to make an argument that a movie that everyone loved, the Academy loves, I don't need to defend it. He needs to defend his position. I don't need to defend mine.
For months, you've been excited about seeing The Mule, and then we talked last week about how we were a little concerned, no reviews until what ended up being the day before, essentially. And the reviews are lukewarm, in the 60s, I think.
Yeah, it's got a 61 as of this conversation.
Why don't you just go to RottenTomatoes.com? You always go to Google.
I know. Because I don't know that movie is going to be sitting right up there. But you're right. The Mule is. But Lady Bird wouldn't have been and all that stuff. Doesn't matter. So, no, I would see The Mule.
Because J.L. Covan gave it a C-.
Yeah, I would see it. But, there's limited time left in the year, and there's movies out that I have to see. Bumblebee's got a 96. I'm going to see that. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, 97%. I'm going to see that. There's one other I'm trying to think of that we're definitely going to go. Vice. We're going to see Vice. Although I see it now, and it's got a 66%. So I guess we'll have to see.
Really?
Wow, with 37 fresh, 19 not fresh.
With all those heavy hitters in it?
Well, you see that a lot. That's not uncommon. I remember the movie Copland coming out, and you're like, wow, this is going to be outstanding.
But those actors, that director, shitting on Republicans, I mean, that seems like a recipe for...
Well, JL's going to love it. JL
for 97%.
Yeah, I mean, now that I see that... By the way, this movie, Welcome to Marwen, it looks like the fucking worst movie I've ever...
Oh, it looks so bad.
It looks so horrible. I've never seen a movie try so hard.
Are there reviews out for that? That's the Steve Carell movie.
It says no score yet, but
more importantly,
God,
it's directed by the same guy who directed Back to the Future, Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, so Robbie will love it.
I'm not enthusiastic based on the trailers I've seen.
Oh, man, the trailers are hard to watch. It literally looks like, hey, we're going to really, really try here.
How many movies did you see this week, Joe?
Just one. I saw The Favorite. The Favorite's a great movie.
What's that about?
It's a period piece.
Is that about Scott Berkson, my favorite Berkson?
Yes. It takes place in the 18th century. There's a queen who has, a hand. Is that what it's called? Somebody that's her, right-hand woman, so to speak.
I know that from Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Hand of the King.
And another person comes along and wins her favor, and they're kind of jockeying for her affections. But it's excellent. And
I'll never see it.
I don't see it. I see no scenario where you would see it.
No. I don't think I've ever seen a British period piece. Am I describing it accurately?
Yeah, but it's... You're not... I mean,
I watched one episode of The Crown.
It's not like that. It's very tongue-in-cheek. It's like... have you ever seen the movie Dangerous Liaisons?
I don't think so.
It's much in the same vein as that. I don't know. How would you describe that, Robbie?
Stylized.
Yeah, it's. But anyway, Emma Stone. God, you know what? I don't need to tell you Emma Stone is great. Maybe because she's such a household name. Maybe she doesn't get the... I think she does. She's nominated almost every year. She's a fucking great actress.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She is excellent.
Chamberlain doesn't care for her.
I guarantee you he likes Emma Stone.
I bet you he doesn't.
Robbie, honestly, what do you think?
That he likes Emma Stone? I think that he probably doesn't really care one way or the other.
I
can't think of an Emma Stone movie he probably would have seen.
Huh. La La Land? He definitely saw La La Land.
Yeah. I don't remember.
He didn't like it.
I don't think he was that big on it, but I can't remember.
Yeah, definitely send an email back to Mike and say we want his take on Emma Stone.
Okay.
We have two murder mysteries coming up this week. Thursday night, DC Improv, Merry Murder Mystery, headed towards a sellout, so hop on board. And then Sunday night, the 23rd, same show, Merry Murder Mystery at Magoobie's Joke House.
Which will also be packed. Yeah,
get
yourself there. That should be super fun. Can I say one more thing? It sounds like you're getting ready to wrap up when you're doing plugs, but do you know...
No, we're good. We're good.
...that in this house, my house that's less than a year old...
Yeah.
I want to show you what I found. You see it written down here. I'm going to let Robbie guess what we found. I'll give you a big hint. It was alive. What did we find in our house?
It was alive. A mouse?
Not a mouse. I'm gonna give you another hint. I've never seen one in my life before in real life.
A salamander?
Not some a salamander, sort of, which I've seen.
Spider looking?
It is a spider. What is that? But what kind of spider is that?
A black widow.
It's a fucking... look at that thing.
That's terrifying to me.
Robbie, I'm going to send this thing to you.
I'm not... I feel unsafe now.
Please don't send a spider to me.
I'm going to send a picture of it to you.
Oh, my God. Where did you find that at?
That's on the stairs. Okay.
Inside the house.
Of course, yeah. And Katie... well, here's the thing. Katie is emailing me or texting me during the Ravens broadcast. Like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, and there's nothing I can do. Even if I left the broadcast and went straight home, there's nothing that I could do. So I said, hey, babe, you have to fucking kill it. She goes, well, I just read that their venom is like 15 times stronger than rattlesnake bite. I go, well, then, don't get too near it.
This is terrifying, Joe.
So she was terrified too. So I told her to take, I don't know exactly what she killed it with, she could tell you, but I told her to take one of the wrapping paper rolls and kill it with that. Cause then
you need something heavier than that.
I think if you press down on it, I actually can show you a picture of it dead. She was able to kill it. Let me see here. Robbie, I just sent it to you.
Spray, any sort of bugs, killing spray?
I would certainly have, beaten that thing. Beyond, you wouldn't be able to recognize it if I had, because, but anyway, this is where it ended up.
Yeah, I saw it.
That's what it ended up looking like. But, of course, she's reading all, look at that thing right there.
Do you have any idea where, how they come about, tracks them to your house?
Yes. Katie said that
Is it beige colored ornaments?
It's rose gold. No, Katie said that when it rains, they don't want to be out in the rain. And it rained, for 48, 72 straight hours. So that's probably why it came in. But then she's reading different things about what the likelihood of there being more in there. Now, there's probably not. And if it's a male, then they're rogues or whatever.
Do you have Terminix? Do you have any sort of bug killing contract with anybody?
No,
spray?
No bug. But it's not an infestation. We've never seen another one. We haven't seen one before since, and believe us, we've looked. But I hear what you're saying. I've never seen one in my life, and now I've seen one. Would you do? Would you call an exterminator and have them scour the house?
Tawanda would, yes. You'd freak out. What did the dog see it?
No, that was, of course, the big deal is that, if the dog got bit, that's when.
How are we doing 1 week into the dog's life here?
So the dog, the dog was very timid when we first got him. He had just been neutered. And of course, we don't know what scenario came from other than the fact that we know he was there for at least, a week and a half in the animal control. And we also know whoever had him before, I'm not saying they were bad people, but they weren't interested in keeping this wonderful dog. So that leads me to believe maybe he didn't have the best life. Okay. So he was very, in his shell early, and you saw him. Now, this dog, you know, it was a long con. That's Katie's. Katie made that up. It's a long con where now he's running up the stairs. He's jumping. He's carrying our boots around the house. You know what I mean?
Welcome to reality.
No, but you know what? This dog, he's not aggressive at all. He also, he doesn't bark. We haven't heard that. He had diarrhea for 5 straight days.
Oh, nice.
And ended up, he had some, I can't remember, but he had a parasite, which we've given him whatever he needed in order for that to go away. But he had diarrhea for 5 straight days. He never went to the bathroom in the house. Never.
Well, that's impressive.
Not one time in a brand new environment. So, this past Saturday, we'd only had him a week. So, you know, we've had him now for, I guess, what are we on, day 9? And
I think that's part of the long con as well.
Yeah, right. He'll start shitting in the house immediately.
And he'll just take over.
But anyway, no, he's a great dog, and I'll let you know if he ever does anything. He hasn't done anything other than when he picked up a shoe that wasn't, you know, that he didn't chew it. He picked it up. It's the only thing time we ever had to say no to him, other than when he's licking his surgery wound, which that's a whole different thing. That's
Who
a
wouldn't
safety,
do that?
That's a safety issue, but yeah. He's a very, very, very good dog.
Well, congrats. We're having a little house party at my place, spider-free zone, this Friday night.
So you
night.
Think. They say you're never more than 6 feet away from a spider. It might even be closer than that.
I don't
that.
Need to know this.
Any point in your life. Do you know what that if spiders...
No. Who says that?
I'm telling you. Hold
I've
on.
Heard, I've heard that too, Rob.
You're never...
I don't believe that there's a spider within 6 feet of me right now.
Hey. Boom. You're never more than 10 feet away from a spider. Here we go. All right. Myth. Okay. Here we go. All right. Hold on. Let me see here.
Oh, God.
Let me see. Spider facts. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me go back.
Oh, now this one says you're always within 3 feet. That's another myth.
Let me see. Spider facts. Studies have shown. Boom. Here we go. That you're never more. I just lost it. Studies have shown that you're never more than 10 feet away from a spider, and one estimate puts you as close as 3 feet.
And you're never more than a mile from a radioactive spider.
Okay. Here we go. We actually know the history of this one. A 1995 popular article by famous arachnologist. Is that how you say that? Whenever you sit as you read these lines, a spider is probably no more than a few yards away. That's how it started. Let's see here. How close to the nearest spider, in fact, depends on where you are, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, maybe on an average...
I don't know. There's always a woman that wants to bang Gramps within 10 feet of him.
Well, look, regardless of the truth of that, the spiders are...
Okay.
I've also heard this. If spiders wanted to... If they knew and wanted to take over the world, there's nothing we could do. If they decided to come after us, we couldn't...
So you're telling me you have the ability to destroy the world with making an animal or an insect or something attack us? Spider would be the way to go?
If every spider was aggressively trying to attack humans, yeah, no, we couldn't survive.
Well, not all spiders are deadly.
No, all spiders do have venom, not necessarily the venom of the bite of a black widow or a brown recluse or any other. I mean, there's a bazillion poisonous spiders, but yeah.
We talked on our podcast about Katie killing one of their own, one of their best spiders. Now they're going to come after us.
I don't know if it's one of his best. He didn't have any friends. That's the one thing we know about.
It's one of the elite spiders. It's in the top half of spiders.
What's
of
in
cool
the
spiders?
The Mount Rushmore of spiders would be Black Widow and Tarantula would both be on there,
yes.
Right? Daddy Long Legs?
Yeah.
And what's your fourth?
I can't name a fourth.
PETA?
I don't know what that is.
We were talking about the Mount Rushmore bread last week.
Oh, that's right. Sorry,
whatever.
Mac hated it. come out Friday night. Now, what am I saying? Come out. No one's invited. None of you are invited.
Yeah, no. If Robbie or Mac. Robbie, are you coming?
I'm coming.
Okay. Awesome.
So if Mac wanted to come, he's invited.
All right. Yeah, Mac's invited. But then Gramps would want to show up.
All right, enough. Let's wrap this up.
Later.
Later.
Spiders.
Marcus, have you ever seen a black widow?
Oh, yeah. In a number of
Oh, yeah.